Accession number 20066, reel 2.
George Allen, reel 2. You said you had your recreation at Fen Ling.
Yeah, that's where we used to go out and have a good time, have a good night out. That was the only decent place that we could go to.
Did the troops like being in Hong Kong?
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah. Maybe it was a recognisable period. The only hard part about it was the schemes that we had to go on.
Why were they so hard?
Well, you was out 3 days on your, you know, with just your platoon on your own. And the marches was, to put it mildly, it was really rough. We had to live rough. That's when we started using the rations, hard tack rations.
Can you tell me about Korea now? You said you were at Weejongbo.
Weejongbo, yeah. That was like, as I said, the echelon. And when we was moved then, we had to go, we took over off a Dutch battalion at the front line. There was a Dutch battalion, what battalion it was, but an order were Dutch. And as they moved out, we moved in trucks and took over the first Dutchies that came into view. Well, of course, we may have been in HQ. The first one I headed for was the biggest one, not the one up the hill, because that's where the telephone exchange was, the line telephone exchange. That's where that was. So I headed for that one. But I found out that it wasn't a sleeping quarters or anything. It was just the HQ signals office. The other lads, then, donated a bunker, Hutchie, and there was about four in each Hutchie. There used to be four of us. Conditions, terrible. We had to make our own beds. What they'd been using, the Dutch, we made better out of the lime wire. We used to make our own beds out of lime wire.
How did you make them?
Criss-cross pattern with two struts of wood to make bunks. We used to make our own bunk beds. There was some there, but in bad repair. And our heating was a petrol can upside down with a little rubber tube on it with a clip pin or a peg. And we'd have it dripping into an ammunition box. And that was our heating, with diesel. We just let the diesel drip and let it burn for the ammunition box to get warm so we could eat anything. But there again, in our rations, we used to have tins of soup that when you took the top off and struck it, it'd burn a fuse down and heat the soup. You just had two holes in it and you had boiling hot soup. Because it was all C7 rations then. In C7 rations, then we get to, we used to get 50 cigarettes, which we used to play cards for. Toilet paper, matches, tin of bacon, dried egg. Supposed to be a sweet, like a tin of sponge pudding, another small packets of custard or whatever to put over it. But all those I used to go around for, that those that didn't smoke, get the cigarettes so we could play cards of a night time. We had to make our own chess sets out of beer corks.
Your own what?
Chess sets. Or drafts. I think the only real entertainment we had when we was in the Dutch positions was the comedian Frankie Howard. He came to visit, and I can remember going in what we called our bar. It was one of the biggest hutches, so we could all get in there, and we was used to drink bottles of Asahi. That was the only beer that we could get, Asahi. But we had a good night with Frankie Howard.
Was he appreciative?
Oh yeah, fantastic. Yeah, he was, because he was one of us. While he was there, he was one of us. There was no holds barred with him.
What do you mean?
Well, it was with us. There was no holds barred. It was one of us. One time there, I had to do what they called SDS, the Black Watch had moved next to us then, on the hook. And we'd moved over to a hill 187. There was no names for the hills there. They were all numbers. The only hill that I knew, the one that comes to mind, is the one that the Americans was on, was called Old Baldy. That's the only one that I can think of. And one other one that we was keeping observation on was another one called Sungok. And all the others, really, they were all numbered. I mean, we was on 1355, and the only way that they give them the number, because there was 355 ammunition boxes as steps to get to the top. So that's where most of them got the numbers from. At one time there, when I got wounded, I was wounded in Korea. I was on SDS, a camouflage. Well, it was a road cut into the hill with a camouflage net up, and we was in convoy, and I was on the SDS.
What
is SDS? Special Delivery Service. What it was, it was pinholes in like a cigarette paper that was given to each battalion. And they used to put it on the map. How they used to do it, I don't know. But they used to put it on the map, and that was where our patrols was going to be that night. And this SDS, what it was, if we was caught or anything, it had to be destroyed. And we were going along this jeep track, and we got opened with shell fire and mortar fire. And I got it with a mortar bomb, mortar shell shrapnel in my head and back. And all I can remember is jumping out of the jeep with the driver. And the next thing I knew, I woke up in an Indian field ambulance. And I found out later that I'd been unconscious, missing for 3 days. I was missing for 3 days.
You mean you were lying by yourself?
No. There was one or two other people. Further, this is only what I've been told after. But I don't know nothing for 3 days. I didn't know nothing. And I woke up in an Indian Field Ambulance Hospital. And from there then, I got moved to a hospital in Incheon. A hospital in Incheon. And there I was there for, I'd say, 3 weeks. I was only in there for 3 weeks. But I can remember having an operation in this Indian field ambulance. And I was lying face down. But you've heard about these out-of-body experiences. I actually experienced them operating, seeing them operating on my back.
What were they doing to you, mate?
I could see myself lying down. Although I was face down, I could see myself being operated on. They say it's an out-of-body experience. I don't know. But I believe that was an out-of-body experience. Obviously, if I'm lying face down, I can't see what they're doing on my back. And yeah, I can still see it now to this day. That what they were actually doing.
Were they removing shrapnel?
Shrapnel, yeah. Yeah.
Did it hurt?
Can't remember whether it hurt. I can't remember whether it hurt.
But they'd given you anaesthetic?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a proper hospital, but it was not. These were Norwegians at the one at St. John.
Were you satisfied with the treatment that you got?
Oh yeah, yeah, fantastic. Yeah, getting waited on hand and foot. Had little Korean girls coming round a choir and singing to us. Then we was invited to, I think it was a, it must have been the school hall or something. But these were, I think they came from a temple, because I can remember a temple at Incheon, and I'm not sure whether these girls, same as like the Buddhist monks, whether they were in one of their convents or, you know, something that similar. But they used to come down, and I'll always remember a tune. It was called, all as I know of it, was Ardy Dong, Ardy Dong.
Can you sing it?
A few words. Ardy Dong, Ardy Dong, Ing Sung Chang Ma Ta Say. That's it, like what? It's something that sticks in my mind that I'll never forget.
Did you make a complete recovery?
I did in one way, but mentally no, because when I went back to the front line after I'd been discharged from Incheon, I went straight back to the command post, and I found out as soon as I got back that night that I was on duty that night, and I actually got that bad that I was ready to write a suicide note to the CO, because my nerves was that bad. I was terrified. As soon as the shelling started, that was me finished. I mean, all the bunkers and our hutches was always on the back side of where the fire was coming from. And I didn't mind the shelling. The shell wasn't too bad. It was mortars, because mortars go up and come straight down. And our toilets from where our hutchie was, obviously it was only a bin buried, 45-gallon drum buried. And all that was round, it was a piece of canvas. So if you went to the toilet or anything like that and they started mortaring, that was when I got that bad.
So what happened?
Well, I finally got over it in the end. I got used to it then, but my nerves were terrible. You know, I was just absolutely shattered. Well, I must have been in a bad frame of mind to start to think of committing suicide. I was that bad.
Did the CO speak to you?
No, but I did too. I had a word with our sergeant first, and he let me have a word with our captain, and they sent me then to R&R. I went to Japan. I went away for 6 weeks to a place called Ebisu in Japan for R&R.
What was that like?
A hospital. It was a military hospital. Very good. I enjoyed it.
What were you able to do then?
I carried on as normal after I come out of there. The treatment I got there was only conversations with probably army doctors and things like that. I think that's what brought me round.
What did they talk to you about?
Asking me what experiences, and said the same things as you're asking me now. How was I brought up, and, well, it's somewhat similar to what you were saying. In other words, it's psychiatrists, I'd call them psychiatrists. I'm not saying you are, but I'm saying it was like psychiatry, asking me questions, and anyway, I came back from there and carried on my normal duties after being on R&R.
Were you all right after you came back from your business?
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you were wounded, how long had you already been in Korea for, do you think?
I'd say about 4 months. Only 4 months.
I just suppose you know the date that you were wounded, do you?
No. Not a clue on dates. I'm lost on dates. We had our own little band when we used to go to old Beachlon, that was old break period, when another company would move in. We used to come back, I had our battalion, probably for a fortnight, 14 days. That was the only time we had the chance of getting a shower or anything like that. Used to march down to, well, it wasn't our showers, it was the Americans there was. And we used to all march down, have a shower, come back. And that was our break period. So one lad used to play the guitar, another piano accordion, me on the melodeon. Mouth organ.
Were there any problems about doing the signals job in Korea?
No, I enjoyed it. Signals. Except that I didn't like, when we first went there, we had to do line laying then. We had to do line laying. That's what I didn't like, carrying a reel on my back. Carrying a reel of wire. Until I learned the 62 set. And then when I learned the 62 set, that was a sit-down job, not running around connecting telephones and running lines out.
Why did you like having the
line running. Well, line running, you were taking them out to listening posts. You had to take the phones out, the lines out to listening posts, and the listening post was forward going into no man's land. I mean, the standing patrols used to send out, like, I hated doing that, going on standing patrol. That's going like half a mile from your the command post into no man's land. And just three is you, a lance corporal and an officer, just staying there with the radio set on your back. Just listening post it was.
Did you see anything of Korean civilians?
Korean civilians, yeah. We used to go down to this village called Wee Jambu. We used to mix with them. They used to go down and swap socks for other whatever you wanted. You could go down two pairs of woolen socks and pick a young woman up if you wanted at the village. We had one or two characters. One of them actually pinched my blanket to go down there to see a young woman, give her the blanket.
How did you get on with the civilians?
Oh, fine. They'd bow down. They'd do anything for you. Well, we used to have our own young lad that'd come round and make our tea. And we used to just give him food. They'd do it for doing food. So,
what did you and the other troops think of the enemy, Chinese enemy?
The Chinese enemy. Never seen a Chinese. Never seen one.
Did you have any contact with the other United Nations allies, like the Americans and so on?
Americans only. Only one time when we was there was some American tanks came up past our positions. I think they were going up to Old Baldy, and that was the only time that we had any contact with them. Of course, we catched, I'm not sure it was a turkey or something. We catched a turkey or chickens or something off them. Because I can remember I was building a fire and having it cooking it. That was the only contact we had with the Americans. I mean, they stayed on their own. They had everything, though, the Americans. One or two of the lads would get a bottle off them, a bottle of whiskey or something. Now, they didn't need anything off us. I mean, we used to cadge off them because there was enough in the... Well, we went from C7 rations then to C10. And I think you used to get 200 cigarettes in one of those.
Were you in Korea in winter or in summer?
Winter. And in the winter, that was bad in the winter. I mean, once you got in, I mean, I'd have my parka on and my sleeping bag. It was that cold. It was cold.
How did it all come to an end for you?
Come to an end for me. Oh. I'll never forget the day. There was a monsoon started the day that we was told that we was leaving. And It was raining that hard that the boxes that we'd made, that the steps was made of, they were actually collapsing underneath us. But when we got told, it was just a matter of bunging all our gear. I don't think we had kit bags then, because most of the kit bags had gone to Curie. Oh, it was one of the happiest days of my life when they said you're going home.
Were you miserable in Korea?
Yeah, terrible. Yes, I was. I had no good times. I can't say that I had any good times.
Because of the danger?
Because of the danger, yeah.
How do you feel now about having served there?
Oh, proud now. Definitely proud.
Did you ever try to claim for having been in Korea from the authorities?
Yes, put in a claim in from the British Legion when we had a good pensions officer there. I started to claim in 1972. And I never heard for about 2 years. And I got a letter through to go for a medical at St. Helens. And the doctor that examined me proved that there was no disability. And I got turned down. So then it was left for 2 years. And my point was to them that I went in A1, class A1, and came out as a B2. So I put in for it again in 1973, again, I reclaimed and got turned down again. That was with another pensions officer. So I left it then for another 18 years. I left it for 18 years. So I was told by a new pensions officer that we got in the Legion, I could still claim. So I put in, sent away, got all the forms, filled them in, and I went to a tribunal in Chester, St. Mary's Hospital in Chester. I think it's St. Mary's. In Chester Hospital, I went before a tribunal and I got granted 1,725 pounds after 20, that's all I got, war pension. And that was only given to me for the simple reason that the wording on the forms said gunshot wounds, and it wasn't, it was shrapnel wounds. And the £1,725 that I got was just because that had been made a mistake. But there again, I was found to have no disability. So all as I received as a war pension was that after 20 years of claiming. Well, it's 50 years ago, but I'm only saying when I started to claim in 1972.